Turn to Matthew chapter 10 again. Matthew chapter 10, and let me
Is it working? Now it is.
Say something again.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Got it on. It's on A.
Okay.
Is it working? It ain't working. Just turn it off, and you got that there going?
Yeah.
Okay. Whoops. Modern things are nice, but I remember what Earl said. Certain things vexed him, and that vexes me. Not that it don't get on there, but just vexes me. I'm easily vexed, though. Matthew chapter 10. Let me just read these verses. And I read only these just for the sake of time. Verse 34. Our Lord is actually continuing. He says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And here is the summary, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but this is not an exclusive. That is, the few he mentioned is not exclusive here.
Right.
Here's the statement. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. Doesn't matter who it is. It's not limited to that.
Exactly.
Those relationships that he just mentioned there. The reason is, if you look at verse 21, "And the brother shall deliver up brother." Well, he didn't mention that in verse 34, but you see he mentions it over in, what is it, verse 21. "And brother shall deliver up brother to death." And let me go on. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. "He that loveth father or mother more than me." And let me just add here.
Yeah.
Because our Lord is not simply talking about putting something on a scale. And as long as my love for Christ rises just above my love for my parents or my children, then it's okay. The actual word, another way of translating it would be, "He that loveth father or mother above me."
Yeah.
In any manner.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter how much. That's not the point. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me."
Yes.
"And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." But he didn't stop there. "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life," and then this is vital, "for my sake shall find it."
Amen.
Let me interject here, because I will not spend a lot of time on this. We will mention it, God willing, or I will mention it later, Lord willing. But it is to lose your life for my sake.
Exactly.
Not for the sake of feeding the poor. That may well be a good endeavor, but that's not the point. It's not, "He that takes care of his family," that's not the point. "He that loseth his life for my name's sake." There are many people that give up their lives for many things. "He that loses his life for his country," that's not what he says.
Exactly.
As I've mentioned before, there are those who believe that if you die in service to your country, especially if it's a United States, you automatically get a straight ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
And it's just not so.
Yeah.
"He that loseth his life for my sake." And here, he's not even talking about dying.
No.
He's not even talking about dying. "He that receiveth you," what's that say?
Yeah.
"Receives me."
Amen.
Let me stop again. Remember the three things concerning identification that our Lord mentions in this context. There are three things that God's people do by the grace of God. These are not optional. They identify with Christ.
Yes.
Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father. But whosoever will deny me before men, I will deny him before my Father. You know what he said?
Yes, sir.
Identification with Christ. The second one is identification with his word.
Yes.
And actually he said that, I didn't read it, but he says, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words. There we see the two put together, don't we? So back over here. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now, brief review. Most of this account is what I am going to term negative. Leading up to this last point, and even there it has negative implications. But when I use the word negative, I use that only because of my lack for any other word. Because it is indeed not negative, it is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ came to do.
Amen.
Therefore, it's not negative. It is, in all manner of speech, it is truly positive.
Yes, sir.
And ye shall be, here, another verse, verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all. You see that? And ye shall be hated. Now, all who? Everybody without exception? No, of course not. There are going to be those who receive you and your words, right?
Yes, sir.
And in receiving you and the words you give them, which are the words the Father gives them to say, they receive the truth. They believe the truth.
Yes.
All means all, but it's all of who? Everyone who does not believe the truth hates those who believe the truth.
Yes, sir.
Some may be more than others, but again, that's not the point. Any hatred of the truth is rebellion against God.
Exactly.
So let me briefly review. You remember the precedent. What is the precedent set in this discourse of our Lord to the 12? The precedent is this. It is never God's intent to save everyone. Christ even goes on to say, that's not my intent for coming. I didn't come to bring peace. I come to set men at variance with one another. Even in family matters. Or even in families, I should say.
Yes, sir.
Even in families. He starts out, 12 of them are called, but one's an imposter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
The 12 were not only not sent to some, but they were commanded to avoid certain people.
Yeah.
Right? Now, people may say, but now the gospel is to go to everyone. That's true, but people who died during this time, who were Gentile, were not to even have the gospel preached unto them. Is that not what our Lord said? He commanded them, you don't go into the way of the Gentiles. Not only were they commanded to avoid certain people, but they were sent only to Israel.
Yep.
But not even all Israelites were included.
That's right.
The main thrust of their preaching was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Amen.
Who indeed constitute true Israel.
Exactly.
All of the promises, whether it be land, all the way to blood redemption from sin, is made to the elect.
That's right.
There are those, even premillennials, who try to have earthly blessings and spiritual blessings. It's just not so.
You're right.
All blessings are spiritual blessings, even if they're earthly blessings.
Exactly.
Because they come from God who is what? Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Spirit. So, moving on. Not only would some Israelites not receive the truth, they would violently turn on the messengers. As our Lord pointed out, Christ said, I am sending you amidst, and notice, and I just thought about this the other day. He didn't say, I'm sending you out as sheep among goats. You ever heard I've done it. Talk about the sheep and the goats. You ever done that, Joe? That's used in one passage. That's used in one passage in the latter part of Matthew. It is not sheep and goats. It's sheep and wolves. Yes, there are sheep and there are goats. But goats don't constitute all of the rest of humanity. Because in that passage, there's sheep, there's goats, and then there's God's people. My brethren, Christ's brothers. Aren't there? You see, so people like me, we take little phrases because it sounds good. The sheep, you're either a sheep or a goat. No, you're either a sheep or you're a wolf. That's the point. That's what our Lord taught here. I'm sending you as sheep out among goats. What's the big deal? I'm sending you out as sheep among what? Wolves.
Yes, sir.
And our Lord indicates to them that their own kind were not their own enemies. Their own kind would be their enemies. Even down to your mother or your father or your brother or your sister or one of your in-laws or one of your uncles or one of your cousins. It may well be any of those. But not only were they your enemies, but among the Gentiles there would be enemies as well. What did he say, verse 18? And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for what? My sake. Not because you committed murder. If you go before a governor or a king because you commit a murder, Joe, you're rightly before that governor or king.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
This is not about that. This is for my sake. For what? For preaching the truth about the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's the dividing factor right there.
Exactly.
It is identification with Christ, His Word, and His people, and nothing else. Nothing else. Don't add anything else into that.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, well, people just hate me because of this. Probably rightfully so.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
People get mad at me because I do this. And probably rightfully so. But since and when they hate you for declaring the truth about the person and work of Christ, it is on their part, it is rebellion against God.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Their own kind were not their own enemies. You should be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony, what? Against them, that's the unbelieving Jews, and who? The Gentiles.
Yep.
You see, we have people that although they won't come right out and generally say it, well, of course God didn't choose all them filthy Jews. You know? They were bad anyway. They crucified Christ. Well, the Gentiles, we had our hands right in the middle of it too.
Yes, sir.
We had our hands. Matter of fact, one of our leaders could have set Christ free. But he couldn't. You get that? He could have set Christ free, David, but he couldn't. Because it was purposed by God for it to take place. He should have legally set him free.
Yes, sir.
But because the purpose of God was to be carried out, he could not set him free.
Exactly.
And not only would your enemies be just about anybody. It could be just about anybody, right? Because it even goes down to family members.
Yes, sir.
Not only could your enemies be just about anybody, their violence would become deadly.
Yes, sir.
And there are people today who would kill us if they could.
Yeah, well, that's right.
If they could. And we'll look at that later. Because, as I said, these swords, the next sword, the sixth sword, is what? We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And I don't have the exact, it's over in Romans. There's a sword mentioned there.
Yeah.
But why is it that that's just not rampant? Why? Because of the last sword.
That's right.
That's the people that God put in charge in this world, in government, that keeps total anarchy and chaos from coming to pass. That's the seventh sword. It all fits together. Like I said, I didn't intend for this just to be nice with a nice little title. There are seven swords. We're on the fifth one now, and they are all connected together. But as with anything, with all the negative, that's my word, admittedly, probably not the best word. There's probably a better word for it. If you think of it, let me know. I'll say it next time. I understand that. But with the negative also comes the positive. And I ended up with this last week. But bless God, some would receive the truth.
Amen.
That's the whole, that's the ray of light, Ellen, in all of this.
Yeah.
Is that somebody's going to receive the truth. What? By happenstance? No, because God Almighty purposed it to take place.
Amen.
In other words, I'm a sheep looking for other sheep. You're a sheep looking for other sheep. That's what we are. We're sheep who find each other.
Exactly.
That's what we are, and find fellowship with each other.
Yes, sir.
We not only receive our Lord, we not only receive His Word, but we receive one another. And you leave out any one of those, and you're on the outside. You're on the outside.
Yeah.
I mean, there are those in this world. You probably met some of them. Well, I believe in Jesus, but now all of that particular Bible stuff, that don't really matter. I just love the Lord. No, you're going to love the Lord, and you're going to love His Word, or you don't love the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I love the Lord, and I like to study the Bible, but I do all mine at home. That's one thing if you have to do that. It's one thing if God by His providence has put you in a place where you don't have anybody to physically fellowship with. It's another thing when you do and you won't.
Exactly.
You can't leave that third one out. By this shall all men know you are my disciples if you what? If you love one another. And if you love somebody, what do? You spend time with them, don't you? You spend time with them. No, bless God, somebody's going to receive the truth. But here's the thing. Now, they were sent out to preach what? The coming kingdom. Right? But notice throughout all of this. Now, let me read it. Verse 7. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why? Men speculate all day long. They disagree, blah, blah, blah. Why were they to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Why? Do you know why? Because the King was here.
Amen.
Because everything else through this, you're going to preach me. You're going to be in trouble with other people because of me.
Yeah.
Right? It is your identification with me that's going to tick them off.
That's right.
Right? Let me just say this. Christ is the central theme of the kingdom message.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's the central thing, is the King. You see, without a king, you ain't got no kingdom.
Exactly.
Do you? No kingdom. Not only that, remember the precedent. God's intent has never been and will never be to save everyone. And then Christ actually says it. The distinguishing, dividing intent of Christ is spelled out by Christ. And I began with it. Think not. You remember what I said last week?
Yeah.
Let alone believe it and preach it.
Exactly.
We shouldn't even be thinking it.
Exactly.
Isn't that what he said? He didn't say preach not.
No.
He didn't even say believe not. That's true, Mac.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be believing it. We shouldn't be preaching it. We shouldn't even be thinking it.
Exactly.
Now we may at times,
yeah.
But it's only because our thoughts are still at some times moved by the flesh. Our Lord says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth.
Amen.
I came not to send peace, but a sword.
Amen.
He is spelling out His intent, the reason for His coming.
Yeah.
Right? For I am come. For what reason?
Yeah.
To bring all men to me? To at least try to bring all. This would have been a prime place to say that.
Exactly.
It would have been a prime place. I came to bring all men to me, but they're so rebellious they won't, so watch out for those who won't.
Yeah.
Would have been a perfect place for something like that, wouldn't it? That's not what he said. He said, for I am come to set a man at variance.
Yes, sir.
Against. And there's no need for me to read. We've done read it over and over. You know what it says. It's right there in front of you. For I am come to set. I am come. This was Christ's intent.
Yes, sir.
There are times when I don't like that intent.
Yeah, right.
And usually it's when it hits so close to home.
Exactly.
But that's just the way it is. There are people I care about. But by God's grace, I am enabled and moved and forced to, in spite of myself, care about Christ and His purpose more than them.
Amen.
Even more than myself.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Even more than myself. Now, am I saying I always do that? It's amazing that I feel like I got to stand up here and say that, but I got to stand up here and say that. No, I'm not talking about I always do that. Neither do you.
Exactly.
Neither do you. It's not the point. Let me jump ahead. We're not talking about, as I said, this is not multiple choice. When I pick the first, identification with Christ, identification with His Word, identification with His people, I pick the first one and the last one. You don't pick and choose which one you want. If God saves you, you'll be a part of all three. But here's the thing. It's not just a checklist either.
Yeah.
All right? I've confessed Christ publicly. Got that out of the way. I read His Word a couple times a day. Got that out of the way. And I go to church every Sunday and Wednesday night. Got that out of the way. No, this is about a way of life.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's about. How do I know that? Is this my opinion? No, it ain't my opinion. And ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So it's a way of life. It's not just, well, I got all three in there. You see what I'm saying? It's talking about God making you to be something you were not before.
Exactly.
Somebody that cannot help but, in spite of yourself, identify with Christ, His Word, and His people. In spite of who we are. We're not easy people to put up with. And yes, I'm including you in that. No, the precedent is stated by Christ Himself. God's intent. His intent in coming was not to bring all men together.
Exactly.
Now, is it the purpose of God to bring the church together? Yes. And let me tell you something. He does.
Yeah.
In spite of our differences.
Exactly.
He's brought us together.
Yes, sir.
Hadn't He? Well, it says He's already made peace between Jew and Gentile.
Yeah.
Already done it. It's already done. You see, there is a legal union. And then there's an actual felt union. There is a subjective, let me put it this way, a subjective union and an objective union. And Jesus Christ has absolutely accomplished objective union between His people. But we don't always subjectively walk in that union, do we? That's the problem. But the whole point here is not merely the union of Christ's people together, and then their union with the Word of God and with Christ together. But there's actually, the intent of Christ is actually to divide some people.
Yeah.
Right? That's what He says. I am come to do this.
Yeah.
How many people quote this on Christmas Day?
Yeah, exactly.
Let me give you an amazing fact. I was looking through Knave's Topical Bible. Some of you may know what that is, some of you may not. But it takes what I thought would be all the words of the Bible and then give you illustrations of where it's used and you know, the different areas in which it's used. Well, I thought, well, I'm going to look up variants because it usually gives you illustrations of that in the Scripture. So I looked in Knave's Topical Bible, and guess what? They don't even have that word in there.
That's right.
Yeah. They don't even use it. And I thought, I'm missing something. And I looked, and I'm not spelling it right. I went back here, and maybe it's spelled differently in that. And I looked, it's just not there. Why? This is something Christ said He came to do.
Exactly.
And yet they leave that one out. Why? Because it's one of the toughest ones you ever read.
Yes, sir.
And it proves that a lot of the so-called reasons that Christ came, propounded by men,
yes,
are wrong and lies because they don't fit with the precedent.
Exactly. That's it.
But I read Knaves. Wasn't in there. And I thought, well, at least it'll have enemies. A man's foes, you know, foes, enemies. I looked up enemy, that verse ain't even ever mentioned. Look up foe, that verse ain't ever mentioned. Why? Because men, by nature, won't have it. I ain't saying Knave, the man. I'm not talking about him. I'm saying it's a general principle throughout all the world. Men hate this truth more than any other. Is that God intends on saving some and not others.
Amen.
And that's His intent.
Yeah.
There are people who say, well, we believe that, but you just don't preach it. Because it's going to happen anyway.
Exactly.
Christ preached it.
Yes, sir.
Now somebody said, well, He preached it to the 12. Uh-uh. Turn to Luke.
Yeah.
Now remember, when He said this here, He was talking to who? Just the 12.
Yeah.
Right? Just the 12. Now turn to Luke, and let me find it. You'll see I've jumped way ahead. Luke chapter 12. And if you will look, even from, you know, just a general reading of this, as you read this, look at verse 1 in chapter 12. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people. This is not the same time as we read about Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew 10, it was the 12 only.
Yeah.
Here, there's what? An innumerable multitude. Now, that's meant for effect.
Yeah.
You certainly could have numbered them, Job.
Yeah.
But it's meant to say it was a vast crowd, that it's just wasting your time to try to count them. But look at what he says. And let me just get the verses here for the sake of time. Luke chapter 12, look at what he said in verse 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God.
Yes.
Now is that a little bit different than the other? Yes, a little bit different. But what are we talking about? The same basic fact.
Exactly.
Right? Not only, whoever confesses me, I'm going to confess them before my Father and the holy angels.
Yeah.
That's what he taught. That's the whole truth of what Christ taught. But yet this is to the multitudes. Next verse, but he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God.
Exactly.
See that? Now, we think, well, that's nice. That's there. But then look at what it says in verse 4. Look at what he went on to say in verse 49. This is the same speech here, if you will. The same message. Different time, different people.
Yes, sir.
Verse 49, I am come to send fire on the earth. Well, that's not what you hear about Jesus today, is it?
Exactly.
Huh?
That's exactly right.
I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it already be kindled?
Exactly.
In other words, he said, what is it to me if it's already started?
That's right.
The whole point is, I'm not trying to change anything.
Exactly.
As I told you last week, you want to know what God's purpose? Now, you'll read some of this book, but you want to know what God's purpose? Look at the end. And whatever happens and is consummated in the end, that's exactly what God meant to do.
Yes, sir.
Now look at the book of the Revelation, the last few chapters.
Yeah.
You'll see what God purposed to do.
Yes, sir.
Damn some and save others.
Exactly.
That's the way it is. Look, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? In other words, his mind was set on that cross. That's what he's talking about. Suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on earth. What did he say? I tell you what? No!
Exactly.
Here he is saying, he's going to say the same thing again. And he said, suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on earth. I tell you no, but rather what? Division.
Exactly.
For from henceforth, there shall be five in one household divided, three against two and two against three. The whole point is he's not trying to establish certain numbers. He's saying, well, what I've come to do is even split families down the middle.
Exactly.
That's the best way of putting it. He didn't even say down the middle, did he? He said three on one side, two on the other. Two on one side, three on the other. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Yeah. And that's not an all-inclusive list either. But he adds more than he did the other time, didn't he?
Yeah.
You see, it's one thing when we think, well, but that old, those group of bad people over there, of course that's going to happen. Of course a division is going to take place between them. He says, no, right in the midst of your own family,
exactly.
I'm going to divide. Kind of like this. Take a $100 bill. I haven't seen one in a long time. You take a $100 bill and you take you some black ink and you black out one side of it and then go to the bank.
Yeah.
See what they do with that $100 bill. Huh? You know what it becomes when you black out one side of it? Invalid.
Yeah.
As the old saying is, there are always two sides to every coin. And you can't have the God purposing to save and God not purposing to damn.
Exactly.
If anybody is ever ultimately damned.
That's it.
Like Jim McLaurin, he said, I'll give you one proof, one absolute proof, that the redemption of Jesus Christ is limited. It's hell.
Exactly.
Because it's either limited in its design or it's limited in its power, its ability, one or the other. If anybody goes to hell, then what Jesus Christ did was limited in one way or the other.
Exactly.
Either God limited for who it was for, or God limited its power, its authority, its ability. One or the other, right? There are no other options. And our Lord said on that cross, it is paid in full.
Amen.
It's finished. It's done. You remember what Jim? Stamped. Done. The debt's paid. No. The precedent set by our Lord Himself is what I came to divide. Now you know what a lot of people think? Well, and I actually heard it. It was passed on to me, repeated to me, that a person said something along this lines. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. Of course, that person's not here, but it's not the point. Well, why would God purpose for me to marry this person if in fact that we're supposed to be set at division among one another? Now, first of all, let me say, He didn't say I'm come to cause husbands and wives to be divorced. Did He? No. Let me tell you something. It's worse than that.
Yeah.
That's right, it's worse than that. Remember, He said brother will rise against brother and put them in the divorce court? Disown you as a brother? Leave you out of the, when mom and daddy both die and what's to be divvied up between, is that what? No, brother will rise against brother and have men put to death. People get all tied up and all, well, that might cause a divorce. It may. It may not. That's not the point. But it will, if one's a believer and one's an unbeliever, it will divide them.
That's
right. It must divide them. Because if there is no division, somebody's not where they think they are.
Amen. Exactly.
So there's got to be a division. Not divorce. Not one disowns another. Not a father. It doesn't say the father would disown the son. It says they're going to be set at what? Variance.
Yes,
the word is, I wrote it down here, dichazo. Dichazo. Does that sound familiar? You ever heard of the word dichotomy? It means two, basically, in one entity, but it has two parts. That's what he's talking about. Here's a family. One family, but it's got two separate, different parts. In other words, man, I believe that ultimately man is a trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. But soul and spirit, while they're not the exact same thing, they are both of the same thing, they are immaterial. Man, strictly speaking, is a dichotomy. He's made up of, mankind now, is made up of two things, material and immaterial. Body, that's the flesh, bone, organs, blood, skin, that's the physical, material part. But we are also made up of something else that's far more than just the material. It's the immaterial part of man.
Amen.
It's that God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and that's spirit. And then man became a living what? Soul. So soul and spirit have, Joe, a equilibrium there. They may not be the exact same thing, but they're of the same thing. They're the immaterial part of man. The whole point is this. I'm made up of two things. You can Satan can kill the body. He even says that here. But they can't kill you what? Your soul.
Amen.
You see? Two parts. This is a natural... No. This is a God-ordained law of the universe.
Yeah.
Nothing is altogether together. See? Nothing is all together. Everything exists because of certain equalities and same things. The universe is made up of, and at least what we're aware of, they have a list of what they call it, the periodic elements, what are they called? The basic structure of the universe as we know it. And everything consists of one or more of those parts. Right? But let me tell you, those parts are also what? Separate.
Yeah.
Divided. They are distinct. They are different. And this is a law ordained by God in this universe because that's who God is. He's a divider.
Yeah.
Is that not what Christ said I came to do? I came to divide.
Yes, sir.
That's my God. Now I, by His grace, can either bow down to that, or I, in the rebellion of the flesh, can try to fight against it, but it's not going to change who God is. This is our God.
Amen.
Now, for this, I've got to move on. Now, just to read this. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance. What's that? Here's the word, dikazo, variance. That's the word that knaves. Now, it may be in there somewhere, but I couldn't find it in any word that I thought would even be related to variance, Joe.
Yeah.
It means to cut apart, to divide in two.
Yes.
Figuratively, you would use it as to alienate. That's a good word.
Yes,
because that's what the truth does. It'll alienate a father from the son.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It'll alienate a son from the mother. It'll alienate a husband from the wife or a wife from the husband.
Yes, sir.
Maybe not to the extent they have to split up, because we're given instruction in the New Testament to a believing spouse what we're to do.
Yeah.
Stick with them.
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah.
Right? If you can. But there's times when what? You can't.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. You can't. I actually preached against divorce one time. And you know why I preached against divorce? Because the Bible says that God, from the beginning, it was not so. Well, the law allows for it. Our Lord said Moses allowed you that in the law because of the wickedness of your own heart. The fact that you're unwilling to forgive. That's what Christ said. So I taught that divorce is wrong. You know why? Because it is. And then I was approached in this building later and said, well, I don't believe divorce is the unpardonable sin. I didn't even preach that it was. I didn't even try to hint that it was. But usually when you're guilty of something and a man or a woman stands up and says, God says, this is wrong and this is right, we say, well, I've done the wrong. What? We automatically take it personally, don't we? Like, oh boy, that just shuts me out. Let me tell you, the only reason you're in, the only reason I'm in, is because God chose to bring me in or to bring you in.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to do with personal sins any more than it has to do with personal righteousness. Romans chapter 9 says that.
Yes,
the children neither having done any good or evil.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not the point in God's salvation, is it? Why? Because that's what God says. No, you look at Romans chapter 9, verses 27, 28, 29. I'm not going to read it. You read it later. It's clear God never intended to save all the Jews.
That's right.
That's what that passage says. And in Acts chapter 15, verses 13 through 18, you will find James testifying to the fact that God never intended to save every Gentile. He is now calling out of the Gentiles a people for His name.
Amen.
That's what he's doing. And this distinction, this dividing thing, this sword is so divisive by God that it will even divide family members.
Yes, sir.
You see? That's how particular, that's how dividing, Jack, it is. It ain't just God says, well, I'll save that family, but not this one. No, God may save one or two in this family, and the rest of them he rejects. I'm here to say to you this morning, that's tough.
Yes, sir.
But that's who God is.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, I read to you Luke, let me look back again, chapter 12. Turn to Luke chapter 14 now. Now, this is tough, right?
Yeah.
Admit it, this is tough.
Oh, yeah.
We doubt, if you're even partly human and partly have natural affection, you know what natural affection is, don't you? Concern for family members.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Exactly.
If you even have even a little inkling to that, that hurts. I mean, I can imagine, I have some idea, not to the extent that he did, but I have some idea what Abraham meant when he said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you.
Exactly.
That was his boy.
Yeah.
It was his son.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't even adopted. And I don't mean to put down adoption. I got to say that because somebody get mad and say, well, you're against adoption. You know? That's the way people are. It wasn't even his adopted son. It was his flesh and blood. Oh, that Ishmael might live. And basically, you know what God said? No.
Exactly.
No. That hurts. It's hurt you. It's hurt me. And God on occasion seems to have said, only because we haven't seen the end of it, Joe, no.
Yeah.
No. Right? No. Christ said no, didn't he? I say unto you, nay. That means no.
Exactly.
Now look at Luke 14. Now, this is another group of people, of course, because Luke 12 comes before Luke 14. Right? That's easy to figure out. And it came to verse 1, it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees. So now we're looking at a different occasion, right? First one was the 12 disciples. The next one was a great, innumerable multitude. Now we're talking about what a Pharisee's house.
Yeah.
And look at what he says. Let me find the verses in particular. Turn to verse 25. And let me preface this by saying this. Now he ups the ante.
Yes, sir.
You know what upping the ante is, don't you? Now he ups the ante. Verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him. Now he has left the Pharisee's house. Multitudes of people following him again. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and, look at that next word.
Yes, sir.
Hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. He, what's that next word? Cannot. Now is he talking about we're to become vicious toward any of these people?
No.
Malicious toward any of these people? Are we to start stealing money from them? It has nothing to do with that. This is not about politics. Well, politics divides family. That ain't what Christ's talking about. This ain't about money. Money divides. They say money is one of the biggest causes of divorce in our country. But that's not what Christ's talking about. He talked about identifying with Him, His gospel, and His people. That's what He's talking about. That's it. If you're divided from a family member over anything else, you're the one in the wrong.
Amen. Right.
If you have to divide, I said if you have to divide from them, separate yourself from them because of Christ, His Word, and His people, you're in the right.
Exactly.
You're in the right. Now let's move on. Where was I at? 14. If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Let me tell you something. I'm paraphrasing the rest of it. You better sit down and count the cost of this thing of following me.
Yes, sir.
You see, people make it, they make it easy to follow Jesus today. Come to Jesus and all your troubles will begin to be over. No, come to Jesus and all your troubles will just have started.
Exactly.
You're going to find family members becoming alienated from you.
Yes, sir.
You're going to find a spouse that begins to hate you. You're going to find a son or a daughter or a mother or a father or a cousin or a brother or a sister begin to hate you.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because that's the way God ordained it.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? All I can say is, even so. Amen.
Amen.
Father, these are truly hard sayings, but they are your sayings, your purpose. Lord, bow us down to your Christ, your word, and desire. Give that strong, unescapable desire to be with and fellowship with and be a part of your people. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.